Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Welcome inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field in Jacksonville. Final score in New York. Giants 22, Jaguars 12. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, no Fred Taylor this week. He'll be back with us next week when the Jaguars welcome in the Detroit Lions. He'll be here in studio then. But the Giants pull away for the 22-12 win and a field goal fest tonight, Mike. But the Jags offense had some long sustained drives early in this game, but just couldn't cap them off with touchdowns. That was the issue tonight.
First off, Fred picked the right week. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No, JP, you're absolutely right. Three drives of 10 or more plays to start the football game. Jags, you know, moving the chains, converting third downs, made some mistakes, but were able to overcome them, but then got bogged down. Very similar to last year, right, where they moved the ball between the 20s, settled for field goals. They knocked the field goals through, but you got the sense that they were dominating the football game, but it wasn't that way on the scoreboard.
A couple of bigger plays, though. Allen Robinson had a couple of nice catches, but there were some other times where the ball's just a hair behind. He didn't lead Rashad Green one time on almost a bubble screen type of play. He had to spin around to make the catch. Threw it behind Robinson, I think, on a slant at one point. So off the mark a little bit, so not quite as sharp as last week overall.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Blake was bad tonight, but you're right. And that's the difference, though, sometimes between victory and defeat in the National Football League. It's a very thin margin. And some of those completions, even as the one you pointed out with Rashad Green, where he had to spin and make that play, you just throw it 1 foot out in front of him, and he's running, and he hits it full stride in, you know, catches it and probably picks up the first down. Came very close to doing so anyway, but just a little bit off with Blake tonight. But one of his better throws went to Allen Hurns. We talked about that in the halftime show, and hit Hurns in double coverage, and right at the last second as Hurns was pulling it in, the Giant defender able to knock it away. So, you know, that could have gone and maybe set them up for their first touchdown of the night.
Jeff Loggeman is standing by outside of the Jaguars locker room. We'll have the first word with head coach Gus Bradley after he speaks with the team tonight at MetLife Stadium. We'll go there in just a moment. And I think that, like what you just said, that deep play to Hurns, we saw the ball go downfield a little bit more in this game than we did last week. That's a good sign.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's a good sign for Allen Hurns to get open on that double move. And initially you're like, uh-oh, did he drop one? But he didn't. It looked like he was going to pull that one in and give the defense credit for recovering on that play. But it did look like they wanted to try to drive the ball downfield. But certainly much more successful looking when Blake was in there. Once Chad Henne got in there, and obviously he's working behind second-team offensive linemen as well. Nothing nearly as smooth as we saw. In fact, the Jaguar offense bogged down for a considerable portion of the game from that point forward.
Statistics for Bortles tonight, 8 of 16, 98 yards. But on the other side tonight, Eli Manning, 4 of 14 passing, 46 yards for the Giants. But early in this game, the first couple of drives especially, there were moments where it looked like receivers were running open at some point. They went a couple of times back-to-back where Odell Beckham Jr. had a step on Demetrius McCray and just couldn't bring in either one of those receptions. So it was a little bit of an issue is too strong a word early, but it seemed like there were some openings that Eli just couldn't hit.
This is a team that struggled so much. We talked about this in the pregame. Four drives last week of the first-team offense only generated 38 yards for the New York Giants, only one first down. So they wanted to come out. They probably saw what Pittsburgh did if they took a peek at the tape from last week and said, hey, let's see if we can beat this team over the top. Let's get ourselves off to a good start, feeling good. But Eli was just so erratic tonight, and he really looked like a rookie quarterback or a second-year quarterback struggling to find his way, not a guy that people are talking about becoming one of the highest-paid players in the National Football League.
A couple of pieces back in the defensive lineup tonight. Jared Odrick and Roy Miller had a little bit of time in the middle this evening. There was one play, and we heard Odrick during the broadcast tonight talk about it, the run play right at him where he was just blocked out of the play, and He said that's going to haunt him until next week's game when he gets back out there. But otherwise, what'd you think of Audric?
Yeah, I thought he was pretty solid, you know, and I think he made a good point. He said, look, if there's that one play that you can point to, that's a good thing because you're going to take that and you're going to work on that and you're going to let that eat away at you. And I think that's one thing you see with this team. Gus Bradley talks about being humble and really, you know, working on getting better amongst yourselves. And I think this is a case in point. Jared Audric doesn't talk about the good plays that he made. He focuses on that one, and that one he wants to clean up for next week.
Final score 22-12. The Giants over the Jaguars. We're awaiting the Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley with Jeff Lagerman. That'll come up in just a moment at MetLife Stadium. The Jaguars in this ballgame on the ground. Well, let's see. Denard Robinson, 6 for 19 yards. Toby Gerhart, 5 for 15. Bernard Pierce, 4 for 13. What can you tell about the run game tonight? Not much.
They didn't generate much, but I'll say this. I was surprised really looking at the numbers for Toby and Denard because the feeling that I came away watching them was that they're hitting it up there pretty good, right? And I think, you know, Toby Gerhart clearly looks like a different person now that he's working on two healthy legs this year. Denard Robinson, to me, just continues to impress. There's very little hesitation in his game anymore, and you saw that his first season, even into last year, and he is really just lighting it up in there and getting what the play is giving him. Gerhart will carry you for a couple of extra yards at times. So, you know, disappointing final tallies in terms of what they average per rush, but I like the aggressiveness that they showed. I didn't think the offensive line was bad tonight, but clearly not a whole lot going on in the running game.
Back to the offensive line, though, Blake Bortles had time to stand back there most of the night. That's a good sign.
Yeah, I think really you had the one hold on Joker, which was questionable at best. And
it did stall the drive,
it
too.
Did. It came at a bad time, but, I mean, I think that was one that might have been able to let go, but that was one where they were set up in the red zone that set them up in second and long. Ultimately, they couldn't convert, settle for another field goal. But I thought, yeah, you know, nothing really glaring. I didn't think there were any major breakdowns in there, and I think you're right. Once again, this is another good overall step for that first unit.
Receiving tonight, Allen Robinson, 3 receptions, 64 yards. That long one of 36 was a crossing pattern. He just ran down the sideline and picked up yardage.
It's great nice. Play. JP, we went for several year period without seeing a Jaguar receiver catch a ball while in motion. So anytime, look, and he showed you he's got some run after the catch ability. Yeah. You know, he's got those long limbs that he eats up yardage with every stride. So I thought Allen Robinson looked pretty good tonight. He gave you a little bit of a glimpse. He wasn't in there that long, but 3 for 64. That accounted for a lot of the Jags passing yardage in the first half. And obviously, over the course of a game, you're going to see this guy get 10 to 12 targets and really do something here. I think he showed you a little glimpse of tonight why people are so excited about him.
We'll be with you for the next hour, so we'll break down the stats and all the individual play tonight. But we're awaiting the head coach, Gus Bradley, in the Jaguars locker room now. He'll come out and speak with Jeff Lagerman. We'll have the first word with him from MetLife Stadium coming up. So we've got plenty of time to talk about all this stuff. Return game tonight. Corey Grant had a solid night in the kickoff return game, a couple of lengthy returns this evening, and all of a sudden he's in that race now.
It's so funny because you watch preseason, all right? Kickoff returners in the preseason, typically you're 8 yards deep, you're taking a knee, right? They're like, no, this is my opportunity, right? So guys are going to be bringing him out a little more aggressively, and boy, he has a burst. You know, he really just has that, I'm here and now I'm 10 yards away in that quick, and You could see this guy. I'd like to, as Jeff Lagerman pointed out, let's see this guy get the ball in a little bit of space on offense. They threw him that pass. Tool got it to him and didn't get it on him quick enough, and he really couldn't turn and get upfield because I'd like to see, can he contribute as a potential maybe fourth running back in this team? Because right now he looks like he's definitely got some juice. We know he's got the speed. We've seen it on the practice field. He gave you a little glimpse of that tonight. And, you know, last week, somewhat was Nick Marshall's night to impress, and this week I think Corey Grant really you know, took advantage of his opportunities.
It's a tight running back spot because you got Yeldon. He'll make the team. Robinson, Gerhart, Pierce. You think
Pierce,
he's around?
Pierce ran hard again tonight. You
that's
know?
Four right there. Corey Grant would be the fifth running back.
Well, the luxury you have is that you're not carrying the fullback. You're using Tyson Alualu in short yardage, and he's been pretty effective. And that's a factor here, too. In Toby Gerhart, you had a couple of instances where you had third and one type runs, and that's going to bring your average per carry down because all you're trying to do is pick up that first down. And, you know, so with that, no true fullback on the roster, you've got that one extra roster spot or so to play with.
Final score in New York tonight, the Giants over the Jags 22-12. The Jags are 1-1 in the preseason, as are the Giants. Jaguars will be back home next week to welcome in the Detroit Lions. Overall feel now heading into preseason week 3. It's the dress rehearsal game for the starters. You'll see them go a little deeper into the game next week. But as an offense now, you've seen a piece of what Greg Olsen wants to throw out there, bits and pieces, not the whole thing, of course. What is this offense to you? What is their face?
They want to be able to run the ball, as they've talked about, when they want to run the ball and when teams know they're going to run the ball. You know, you bring it out of Oahu, there's not a whole lot of deception going on out there. At least they haven't shown any. And I'll make a prediction right now. At some point this year, Oahu will score a touchdown, and they'll just give it to the fullback, and on they go.
Let's go to New York. Jeff Lagerman has the Jaguars head coach, Gus Bradley.
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, first-team offense comes out, puts some nice drives together, 10 plays, and 12 plays, but they all resulted in field goals. But you got to feel good about the ability to keep the drives alive.
Yeah, I think you said it right. We got some points off them on the board. It's important that we came out on the road, started fast. But you're right, we're going to be hard on our guys and talk to them in terms of let's turn those 3 points into touchdowns.
Now, once the first-team offense went out, the second-team offense, I think at one point the offense only had like 55 yards. But it's kind of surprising because last week the second-team offense, being led by Chad Henne, very effective. A little different this week.
Yeah, it was. You know what? We were kind of looking at playing the whole first half with our first-team offense. But the plays, you know, is either the first half or 30 to 35 plays, whichever came first. It gave the second-team offense a lot of playing time in that second quarter. So, we'll look at some things. You got a little bit more pressure, on Chad. And a couple things that maybe we haven't practiced, haven't seen because of the scouting purposes that we did with this team. But, overall, I think it'll be really good tape for us to watch.
Defensively, you got to look at a lot of guys at safety tonight. Craig Lawson got the start for Jonathan Cyprian. Josh Evans played a lot. You also got to look at Jared Odrick. Some good things you're going to be able to look at this week on film.
Yeah, I did. I think Craig Lawson really did a nice job. You know, again, I haven't watched the tape, but just appeared from watching it with my vantage point, did a really good job. I thought Sergio did a nice job. Breaking from red line to red line, you saw his range. Jared Odrick, great to see him back out there. You know, the first team defense did some really good things. We need to still get some interceptions or some fumbles. Haven't got any of them with that group yet, but those things will come. I just thought we played tighter defense.
Last question, injuries. Boy, last week you came out of it pretty good for the most part. I mean, nothing of concern, but this week, maybe I don't have them all here, but Josh Walls with a thumb, Aurelius Ben a shoulder, Demetrius McCray a knee, Leroy Reynolds a knee, and Kerry Ford a knee.
Yeah, you know what we did? We came out, these guys now, I told them in the locker room, there's no education like, through adversity. And that second team and third team in the second half fought through some tough times, and then we had some injuries on top of it. So, we'll see how these guys come back. You know, I think the seriousness, we'll find out more as the doctors give us the report.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Jeff Lagerman with the Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley. We'll come back in a moment. Jeff inside the locker room at MetLife Stadium. Final score, Giants 22, Jaguars 12. More after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. 22-12 final, Giants over the Jaguars. Let's go back to New York. Jeff Lagerman in the locker room with Blake Bortles. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. And, Blake, you guys, certainly the three series that you had, about 29 plays, were able to put together three drives over 10 plays. Got to feel good about that, but not about the field goals.
Yeah, definitely, strung some good drives together. The three we had, I think, were both over 10 plays, like you said, and kind of killed ourselves in the red zone. You know, had a penalty. I missed a throw to D-Rob. So I think we did some good stuff out in field. I got to kind of, pay attention to the details down in the red zone.
I know that you had said earlier this week that, hey, look, I'm going to play as many plays as they tell me to, and I would like to play as many as possible. Would you like to have gone a little bit longer, even though you had 29 plays?
Yeah, me and Hearns were talking about it as soon as we came out, and it was kind of, once you start playing and you get in the rhythm of the game, you want to keep going, because you've had some mishaps or some things you didn't do well, and you want to be able to go out there and fix it. So it's kind of hard in that sort.
Third and short, you guys seem to have dramatically improved. Do you love seeing Tyson Alualu report as an eligible number as a fullback?
Yeah, I think him and Toby in the backfield together is a good duo. And the offensive line, they love doing that too. They understand that we're going to run the ball in third and short, and we're running right behind them and expect them to move the line of scrimmage. And they take pride in that and do a good job at it.
Not even third and short. It was third and two a couple times.
Yeah, and Toby's a good power back, so it works out perfect.
Are you ready? You know, the battle that's going on basically with the guys who you put your hands under their rear end, you know, Wisniewski and Bowanko battling for that center position. Is that something that you would like to have settled sooner rather than later?
You know, I think both those guys have done a great job. I think both of them have competed. They're both smart, good players, and whoever comes out on top, it's going to make, you know, it's going to be the best for the team. So, you know, I'm excited for that, whoever it is, and I definitely look forward to it.
It seems like a good friendly battle, though.
Yeah, it is. It's not hostile at all. It's two guys helping each other get better and two guys helping this team get better. And, you know, like I said, whichever guy ends up starting, it's going to make the team better.
Next week against the Detroit Lions at home, the third preseason game. Typically, starters don't play a whole lot, so I'm sure you're looking forward to this last opportunity, which may be your last opportunity.
Right, yeah. I definitely I enjoy the game time reps, so I want to get as many of those as possible. So we'll see.
All right. Thank you, Blake.
Thank you.
Blake Bortles with Jeff Loggeman in New York. Bortles again tonight, 8 of 16, 98 yards. A few misses here or there, but, you know, had some long sustained drives, as we said earlier, and got, you know, scores on those at least. Three field goals. You got a punch and a touchdown here or there.
You know what would help in the red zone? Maybe if you had like an all-pro tight end and brand new shiny running back in the back. Oh, wait, they'll be back,
right?
So, I mean, look, you factor that in. Julius Thomas, that's where he should make his biggest impact on this football team, is in the red zone. And, you know, T.J. Yeldon, we've yet to see him in a preseason game, but all returns are that he is – looking great on the practice field when he gets his opportunity. So, you know, let's see a more complete picture. Hopefully next week get Yeldon back, and certainly for the regular season opener get Julius Thomas back and maybe start converting some of those field goal opportunities into touchdowns.
You heard Blake talk about the center competition there. He's not going to say a whole lot about it, obviously. He's just kind of taking the ball from whoever's there. I'm sure he might have a preference of some kind, but he would never voice that, I don't think. But We might find out this week. They'll go back and review the tape tonight and tomorrow, and I'm sure Gus Bradley will speak to the media tomorrow. I don't know if he'll have a decision by then, but the decision, at least before this preseason started, was to come, they hoped, before the third preseason game. They don't want to rush it, but that could be one of the big storylines this week to watch.
It certainly will be, and I think as Blake pointed out, you know, and as we talked about in the pregame, you bring in a veteran in Wisniewski. You started 61 games in the National Football League, and you feel like if Bowanko beats him out, then he's done something instead of being handed the job. But if Wisniewski wins it, that's fine. You have confidence in a guy who's a vet who knows the offense. So they should be better at that position as a whole this year than they were last year.
Follow the Jags to London this year. They'll take on the Buffalo Bills at Wembley Sunday, October 25th. Packages include once-in-a-lifetime experiences and events that you don't want to miss, including exclusive NFL-only parties, VIP areas, flights, hotels, and more. Visit NFLonlocation.com or call 866-890-1799 to speak to a travel expert today. When we return, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions for Mike Dempsey. Final score, 22-12. Giants over the Jags in preseason week two. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final score in New York, 22-12, Giants over the Jags. Jaguars postgame continues. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Fred Taylor will be back with us next week after the Lions come a-calling here at Everbank Field Friday night. The Jags are back home. It's time for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game. This week for Mike Dempsey, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. You ready?
I am playing the role of Maurice Jones-Drew coming off the bench for Freddie T.
I like it.
Right?
Two-headed running back.
That's what you got.
Number one, Blake Bortles. Last week, very good. This week, good at times, not so good in others. Some misses here or there. What's a good third week for Blake?
Touchdown passes. Let's see him throw the ball and have a receiver or tight end or running back catch the ball and get into the end zone. This Jaguar first team offense needs to light up the scoreboard a little bit. Sustained drives are very good. Blake looking sharp is very good, but you know, it's a continuation of what we saw last year. Pretty good between the 20s, not so good in the red zone. Let's turn that around next week, get a couple of touchdown passes, leave you feeling good about your effort in the preseason.
Question two, what is the biggest concern right now on defense.
I think it's got to be the deep ball coverage, right? We saw it in week one. Martavis Bryant exploited him a couple of times, couldn't get his feet down or would have had two big ones. And here, look, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to make a lot of guys look bad this year, but right off the bat, he got open several times down the field, and Eli Manning was just off the mark, and the Jags caught a little bit of a break there. You got to have those breaks during the course of a football season, but early indication from both of these games, first team defense versus other teams, first team offense, that deep ball security needs to be a little tighter.
And number three, you heard Gus say it, the starters got so many plays in those three drives, they came out a little earlier than they might have anticipated in game time tonight, so a lot of guys deep in the roster had more time tonight. How about some fringe guys that made an impact, guys that are on the bubble to make this team?
Oh, we talked about Corey Grant in the return game. I'll tell you what, a play he made that stood out to me that I think the coaches will be really taking notices of is Jeff Toole, the high snap over his head. It's off his hands. Corey Grant's all the way up in the line of scrimmage, kind of caught up in the wash. He hustles back, jumps on the ball, saves possession, allows the Jags to eventually get a field goal on that drive. And then Brian Walters, he just caught everything thrown his way tonight. I don't know how good his chances are to make this football team, but he certainly didn't do anything to hurt those chances.
There you have it, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers from tonight's game. 22-12, the final. The Giants a winner over the Jags. Jags are back home next week against the Detroit Lions. When we come back, the Bud Light play of the game and highlights. I guess we won't play all the field goals. There were plenty to choose from tonight. But the Jags fall in New York. 22-12. We'll have a final Everbank stats check coming up as well. It's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score at MetLife Stadium at the Meadowlands tonight, 22-12, the Giants over the Jags. Jaguars are now 1-1 in the preseason. They'll host the Lions this coming week here at Everbank Field. It is time now for the highlights from tonight's game, including the Bud Light play of the game. Jaguars opening drive, 10 plays, 46 yards. Scobie hits from 52 to make it a 3-0 game. Eli on the other side doesn't do so well in his opening drive. They go 6 plays, 13 yards, and then punt. The Jaguars go 10 plays, 49 yards, including 36 on what turns out to be the Bud Light play of the game, a crossing pattern to Allen Robinson, and he stretches it out for a whole lot more.
Shotgun for Bortles, straight drop. Blake looking, fires it, that is caught. Allen Robinson with room in the Giants territory inside the 40-yard line. Knocked out of bounds inside the 30-yard line, but that is a terrific pitch and catch. Bortles to Allen Robinson, all the way down to the Giants, 26-yard line.
You said it best earlier, Mike, a completion to a moving receiver who gets yardage after the catch.
Moving that, target, didn't have to here. Stop, didn't have to slow down, caught it in stride, and for a night when Blake threw a few behind receivers, that one was right on target.
So the Jaguars get a field goal, 38-yarder from Myers, 6-0 the score. Ensuing drive, Brown hits from 51 for the Giants, 6-3. 12-play, 36-yard drive for the Jags after that. Field goal for Myers from 49 is good. A 9-3 game. The Giants kick another field goal in the first half. Brown from 43, it's 9-6. And a defensive struggle tonight at MetLife Stadium. That was the halftime score. And at halftime, the Jags had an 18-22 time of possession compared to 11-38 for the Giants. All those long drives early, 10 plays. 12 plays, hit up a lot of clock early in that game, but like we said, you got to punch it in for some touchdowns every once in a while.
It would be nice. And look, they made their field goals, but let's get those attempts a little bit closer, too. 149-yarder and 2 over 50 yards. They made them, but that degree of difficulty a little more than Gus Bradley probably likes.
Third quarter, opening drive. Giants drive down for another field goal. Brown from 53. Next drive, Brown from 37. It's 12-9 Giants. And then a touchdown.
Whoa!
The Giants on their third drive. They had scored field goals in the first two. Nassib to Harris from 8 yards away.
First and goal from the 8-yard line. Two left, one right, one running back. Dropping is Nassib, looking left. Looks left the whole way. Fires it. Did he get it in there? Yes, he did. Touchdown, Giants. Marshall had the coverage.
That was after a missed field goal and an offside kept the drive going. Marshall was offside. Marshall beaten on the touchdown. Not a great drive for Nick Marshall.
Yeah, rough outing there, particularly that series of plays right there. Really didn't do anything to quite distinguish himself like we saw a little bit last week.
Next drive, Giants, Brown from 28 yards away. It's 22-9 New York. Myers hits from 55 yards away. That was the length because of a Shatley snap that went over the head of the quarterback. 22-12, that was the final score tonight. But Bud Light play of the game. The Robinson, Bortles to Robinson reception, 36 yards. That is the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. And I tell you what, it's not often that a play of the game is not a scoring play. How about that?
No, let's hope that's the last time.
Thank you.
Unless there's something.
Unless there's a game-winning field goal.
Or maybe, you know, like a 50-yard bomb that sets them up at the one-yard line.
I'll take that.
They punch it. We'll take that as well. And from the early return so far in the preseason, I think the field goals for Firehouse is going to keep a lot of people fed this year.
Yes.
Strong legs on both of these guys.
No matter who wins that competition,
it appears
there
we'll
is
be okay
one.
In that department.
I think it's going to be all right. So the final score in New York tonight. 22-12, Giants over the Jaguars. We'll come back in a moment with an Everbank stats check. 20 left in Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith. From the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Final score, New York tonight, 22-12, Giants over the Jags. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. And I left out Linda Fortunato as well here tonight with
how
us.
How dare you?
How did that ever happen to me? I apologize. So the Jags come away with a loss tonight, 22-12. Let's take a look at our Everbank final stats check this evening. And as we do in the preseason, the first half stats are going to tell more of the tale. The first teams for both sides are in there most of the first half. So at halftime, the Jags outled the Giants outgained the Giants 160-138. Each team had 111 yards passing in the first half. The Jags with 49 rushing yards and 27 for the Giants. And as we said a moment ago, time of possession in the first half over 18 minutes for the Jags and just under 12 minutes for the Giants. At the end of the night, though, the Giants ran away with the statistics in the second half. The backups certainly did. Outgained the Jags for the game 344-244, 262 through the air, 82 yards on the ground for the Giants. But that's a lot of those guys are backups for the Giants that had a lot of those stats tonight. So movement of the ball, they had time of possession, drove down enough to get field goals, just couldn't punch it in, as we've said all night, with the red zone. Not the best way to finish drives with field goals, but hey, that's why they – play again next week.
Yeah, they didn't finish drives great offensively, and I think they let the Giants extend some drives with some pretty poor tackling at times tonight. Now, not all those guys that missed tackles are going to be on this roster, but way too many missed tackles tonight, I think, for a Jaguar fan's taste. Individually, Blake Bortles, 8 out of 16, as we mentioned, 98 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, just not particularly sharp. Not bad, not particularly good, just okay tonight. Jeff Toole, second on the team in yardage with 63. Chad Henne threw it 12 times and only accounted for 31 yards on seven completions, 2.6 yards per attempt. You compare that pretty much like Eli Manning, 4 out of 14 for 46 for 3.3 yards per attempt. So not a whole lot going on in the passing game tonight. On the ground for the Jaguars, Denard Robinson, 6 carries for 19 yards, led the way, only a 3.2 average per carry, but seemed like he was running it hard. Toby Gerhardt, 5 carries for 15 yards and 13 yards on 4 runs for Bernard Pierce. And for the Jaguars receiving core, Allen Robinson, 3 catches for 64 yards. And Brian Walters, if I'm not mistaken, caught all the targets thrown his way. He caught 3 passes for 36 yards and took a couple of big shots in doing so, but hung on. And Rashad Green early on, couple of catches. Good to see him getting worked in a little bit offensively, had a good night last week in the return game, did muff the punt tonight but fell on it. So a little bit up and down for Rashad Green.
And remember, Green only had really had that punt return last week, didn't play much on the offense, and was out of practice a day this week with a sore Achilles, came back on the practice field, and Gus said he expected him to play a little more on the offensive side. Also, Corey Grant tonight, two kickoff returns for an average of 38.5 yards. I mean, that includes a 42-yard return tonight. For Corey Grant, solid night, as we've said throughout, for the rookie out of Auburn.
Yeah, definitely a standout night for him. And for Tanner Doss, you know, he's getting in late. You kind of wonder if that is an indication of where he stands in the pecking order. A couple of years ago, led the NFL in punt return average, and the Jags probably would have had him as a primary return man. Last year, gets hurt before the season starts, and now he's in an uphill climb. And again, I think this highlights, JP, they've got options that they didn't have last year, whether it's Corey Grant returning kicks, whether it's Rashad Green returning punts, and it's getting tougher for Tanner Doss, who's had his moments in the National Football League, to find a way to contribute.
There you have it, the Everbank final stats check. We'll come back in a moment with a Safe Touch Security player of the game. The final score in New York, 22-12, the Giants over the Jags. This is Jaguars Post Game on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along, 22-12 final in New York. The Giants over the Jags in preseason week two. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. It's time now to name a Safe Touch Security player of the game. How about you go first, Mike?
All right, I will go first. And I think in the regular season you might say this is an Allen Robinson game because he had 64 yards, clearly the leading ground or yardage gainer for this Jaguar team, but I have a feeling A-Rob will get mentioned in this category a time or two going forward. So
let's hope so.
Let's give it to the rookie out of Auburn, Corey Grant, tonight. Carried it one time for 3 yards, had a couple of catches out of the backfield for 9, but 38.5 yards per kickoff return. He only had a couple of opportunities, made the most of those, and that's where they're looking for him to make his biggest impact. So looked like he gave him a spark in that department.
And the fumble recovery, too, that you
mentioned
earlier. Yeah,
the fumble recovery on the high snap, which is not a statistical play you're going to note, but I think it's one that the coaches are going to say that's a hustle play. That's a guy never given up on the play. And, you know, he was not in a great position running forward towards the line. Ball goes over Jeff Toole's head. And Corey Grant saved, you know, that's a huge play if that happens in a regular season game. You save a possession, you save an opportunity to get points.
You know how this normally works. Fred Taylor has a vote and a half. If
yes,
we disagree, then and he has a different guy, he wins. So he's not here with us tonight. So we would have outvoted him anyway. So Corey Grant.
All right, unanimous.
The player of the game tonight, the undrafted rookie out of Auburn. He ran a couple of 40-yard dashes at his pro day in the 4.2s and has that fantastic straight-line speed, now trying to get some side-to-side to it in the running game at least. That's something he's been working on throughout camp. But, boy, what a night tonight as a kick returner. And, he's moving his way up. It's great to see.
Can he get 3 40-yard dashes a game? If you give us three, that means you're setting up the Jags in some pretty good field position three times a game. I think they would take that.
You know what they called him on the plains of Alabama, right?
What's that?
They called him Taillights.
That's all you see.
Nickname. It's all you see.
He's
when
checking
he
out.
By
he
you.
Is gone, baby.
Taillights.
Taillights. Good name. So, that's a good name for a return man right there.
If you can see the taillights, that's that's a good thing to see. We haven't seen it yet. It hasn't broken one all
no,
the way.
Well, you don't mention broken and taillights in the same sentence, all right? We don't want this guy getting pulled over on the way to the end zone.
So there you have it. He's the Safe Touch Security player of the game tonight, Corey Grant out of Auburn. You know, it always seems there's one or two of these type of guys, or three in some instances the last few years, especially with all the youth around here, that make the team. An undrafted rookie who just had a chance at maybe like the Mike Brown story from a couple years ago. He was a tryout player, got a chance to make the roster. Now he's made a little bit of a career out of it, but certainly the undrafted guys like a Corey Grant, a Nick Marshall, that type of player, there's always a story like that. Leroy Reynolds was that type of player too. Those are fun to watch. You know, this last couple of weeks of the preseason where guys are fighting for those roster spots, definitely the guys that are undrafted working their way up. The story is so great when they finally do make it.
Yeah, and you need those kind of guys. You need to hit on late draft picks, which the Jags are seemingly doing a pretty good job of, and you need to hit on some undrafted players, some surprise players as well, because that's what keeps your salary cap intact, right? I mean, you got to find contributors that you're not going out and breaking the bank to bring in, and sometimes it's one or two plays a game. That's all these guys will get the opportunity to make, but if they can make those plays and carve out a little role for themselves, we always overlook special teams, but it looks like at least right now the Jags have better options in the return game than they've had in a while.
Unfortunate part of this game tonight were some of the injuries. Ooh. And when we come back, we'll take a look at the Baptist Health Injury Report. The final score in New York, the Giants over the Jags, 22-12. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Final score, New York, 22-12. The Giants over the Jags. Jaguars postgame continues. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey from the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. It's time for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. We heard throughout the game a handful of Jaguars go down, most notably on that one play on defense. McCray and Leroy Reynolds ran in, I think, the ball carrier, or each other, or in that little pile together. Both were down at one point on that play. And
Reynolds stayed on for another play.
He
remember
did.
That?
That's
and tried
right.
to try to tough it out and then came off the next play.
Right. And now we'll pull up the report from Ryan O'Halloran, who is in New York tonight, the beat writer for the Florida Times-Union. And for McCray, it is reported to be a knee contusion. That's good news.
That's the best news of the night right there.
Yes. Leroy Reynolds injured his left medial collateral ligament. That is the reporting from Ryan O'Halloran. Other injuries tonight, Josh Wells, dislocated left thumb while playing special teams. Kari Fort, a meniscus injury in his knee. No word on how severe. According to Ryan O'Halloran, Aurelius Ben broke his collarbone on a rushing attempt. Receiver Damian Copeland dislocated his shoulder. And those are the injuries that Ryan O'Halloran is reporting tonight.
Couple of quick thoughts on these. One, Aurelius Ben just has been plagued by injuries throughout his career. Cannot catch a break. No pun intended. And the thing they like about him, now he was running the reverse there, but they loved his body. He's a big physical guy. And they loved him more in the run game and what he could provide them in a team that wants to run the football a lot. And what he could bring them in that department. So this is going to open up an opportunity for another one of these guys. Tony Washington had a drop tonight.
Yes.
Walters caught all of his targets. Washington made a nice tackle
on special,
on
teams.
Special
yep.
teams on punt coverage. So Josh Wells, probably your backup left tackle directly behind Luke Jokel. Certainly an opportunity to be that with the dislocated thumb. We'll see what the prognosis is in terms of a timetable there. Like we said, best news is that McCray sustained a knee contusion. That'll heal. He'll be ready to go, and he should be fine for the opener you would expect for that. And then, you know, Kyrie Fort, we don't know the severity of the meniscus. Mike Iupati out in Arizona, for instance, just had to have surgery to repair his. That's a two-month injury right there. Boom, that's half the season, basically. And Reynolds, boy, injured his medial collateral ligament. You hope it's a sprain or a strain
right.
of that. You know, it's just anytime you do a knee ligament, you just got to hope for the best. But he was in a good bit of pain. He stayed on the sideline, but no telling, you know, until we get a clearer picture.
And last we heard, Gus Bradley is scheduled to speak with the media tomorrow, and maybe we'll have some more updates on some of those. But that's the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. And it's always a topic in the preseason. You just want to keep guys healthy, and we'll get some more news on those tomorrow. We'll come back in a moment and preview next week's matchup with the Detroit Lions. Final score, New York, 22-12. Giants over the Jaguars. We'll wrap it up after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final moments of Jaguars postgame. The final score in New York, Giants 22, Jaguars 12. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. The Jaguars offense, you know, moved the ball a bit, had to settle for field goals. That's one of the downers tonight. The other is the injury news with the clavicle injury, the collarbone injury to Aurelius Ben. We're not sure the severity of the knee injury to Reynolds yet or the meniscus injury for the other, but we'll find out hopefully tomorrow from head coach Gus Bradley on the severity of those. So after that is said, moving forward now, the Jaguars welcome in the Detroit Lions this week for the final home preseason game here at Everbank Field. It's week three. The starters will go. It's a dress rehearsal type of situation in week three always.
Absolutely. I think this is another very good test for this defense. Let's find out now as Detroit figures to play 2.5 quarters with their frontline guys. You got Stafford with Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate on the outside.
That's pretty good.
Eric Ebron's having a very good camp, they say, up in Detroit. Had a very quiet rookie year. Most tight ends don't make a big splash initially. And Amir Abdullah, at least in the first week of the preseason, was probably the most talked about player in the National Football League based on his performance. Would have been quiet this week, and it'll be interesting because you had T.J. Yeldon. Jags drafted him in the second round. Amir Abdullah, I believe, was the next running back off the board. He went in the third round to Detroit. So hopefully we'll see Yeldon on the field, get a chance to compare these guys head-to-head.
I was at Abdullah's pro day, actually. We were there for Randy Gregory, same day.
He's already drawn comparisons, some hyperbole, I'm sure, but Todd Bowles, the Jets head coach, said he looked like Barry Sanders, and he's been described at times in practice as untackleable by the Detroit defense. Granted, they lost Ndamukong Suh. They brought in Haloti Ngata. They're still pretty stout on that side of the ball.
Okay, well, I saw his pro day. Let's tap the brakes on Barry Sanders.
He was talking about his performance last week, and he looked electric. What can I tell you?
Okay, all right. They're excited about it.
I didn't say it. I'm just passing along the quote.
So the Lions and the Jaguars coming up next week here at Everbank Field. If you want to talk about the game, the phone lines will be open coming up. 1-800-355-NFL1. The scoreboard show will air locally here in Jacksonville on our flagship station, 1010XL and 92.5 FM. That's coming up next, so get your calls in now. Well done, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
I'll talk to you in a few minutes, but yeah.
Yes, and I'll talk to you next week on the network.
You got it.
How's that? The Jaguars VP of Communications is Dan Edwards, Jaguars manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are the producers. And for Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli, Frank Frangie, and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score for the final time, Giants 22, Jaguars 12 on the Jaguars Radio Network.